church is primarily a place where we come and receive information. Everybody say information. Now, there's all kinds of different churches in our city, and there's all kinds of different churches across America. But the primary reason why Jesus came to deliver us from bondage, amen, and set us back into a place with God is so we could be one with God. Why is that? Because the world is controlled by the devil, and if you're not one with God, you're going to have a hard time overcoming the circumstances that come against you, amen? So I want you to know that as God told us to demonstrate Jesus, a part of demonstrating Jesus, if you study the life of Jesus, He came to impart information. Everybody say information. So one of the main platforms of this church is to impart revelation. I'm a revelation preacher. That's who I am. When I minister, if you are really tied into the Word of God, revelation will flow. But you know, I have realized over a period of time, not everybody is interested in revelation. Not everybody is interested in God because they think they got their life figured out. Amen? We live in a society today that's pretty comfortable. Everybody say comfortable. Work is good. We have enough money. Our houses are nice. But you know what? Perilous times are coming. And I'm not speaking that into existence. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. It says in the last days, you know, that people would be deceived. They would be tempted by evil spirits, that things would happen. People are going to begin to, come against one another. And let me just tell you that. I can tell you today things like that are going on in the world, right? Amen? So as we come to church, we shouldn't be coming to church to be entertained, one. So FFI will never be a church full of entertainment. I don't want to misrepresent that to anyone. We are not a church of entertainment. We are a church of revelation. People will come into this church because they need to make decisions in their life. They'll come into the church because people will know that the revelation of God's Word is ministered here in love. Amen? Not only from the pulpit ministry, but from the leadership and the membership of the church. As a matter of fact, the membership of this church will be known as we continue to grow, not as a social club, but as a revelation club. Amen? A club that imparts information. Why is that? Because that is the anointing that is on my life, and that is the anointing that's on Tiffany's life. So we've been teaching the last few weeks about praying in the Spirit. I'm not going to go in detail, but I would recommend that you get the CDs and listen to those CDs as we share specific information in the Bible about praying in the Spirit. And the number one reason why we should pray in the Spirit, because Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 says, the Spirit Himself prays for us when we don't know what to do. How many of you have faced situations you don't know what to do? There are questions on the inside of you all the time going through your mind that you don't know what to do with. Well, you know, it's a good thing that we have a connection with God. That's why God's here. He knows what to do. Amen? And your oneness with God, or your ability to be with God and to hang out with God, will determine what kind of decisions you make. So we talked the last couple weeks. Let me kind of just review and give you some of the points we talked about. First thing we said is we're supposed to live on a higher realm. Amen? As Christians, we're not supposed to be entertainers. We're not supposed to be socialites. We are supposed to demonstrate the person of Jesus and live on a higher level. We are to live on a higher level as Jesus lived on a higher level. Why? So we draw all people to Jesus. Amen? We don't draw people to Jesus by expensive light systems. Amen? We don't draw people to Jesus by colorful magazines. We don't draw people to Jesus by how well we perform, amen, or how comfortable the seats are. We draw people to Jesus by a supernatural ability through the Holy Ghost to discern and to live in this life over current circumstances, amen. Jesus walked on water. Jesus fed 4,000 and 5,000 with a little boy's lunch and a few fish. Amen. Jesus laid his hands on blind eyes. Jesus, through the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge, began to speak things that made even the Pharisees look at him and say, where did all this knowledge come from? Having not learned or been to our university, how did this dude get all this information? I'll tell you how he got it. He was one with God. Now, you know God knows everything, right? Well, we're supposed to be little Jesuses running around. That's what Christians are. If you study that word Christian, it means Christ-like. Little Jesus is operating in the world. And if we're not operating in the world in that manner, then we're not drawing anybody to God. Amen? So we taught we're to live on a higher realm. Jesus walked on a higher realm. He showed us every avenue of his ministry for 3.5 years and how the Holy Spirit, through him, ministered. Many people in denominational churches, and I've been there, thought that if Jesus didn't lay hands on that child would not recover. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus laid aside his deity. He specifically laid aside his deity and became a man. He was tempted in every way that we are tempted. Yet he walked for 3.5 years to clearly demonstrate a God kind of life on the earth through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So he demonstrated that for us. Why? So we could see it. Everybody say, see. If you see it and you build that image on the inside of you, then you, remember Jesus said, these works that I do, greater works will you do because I go to be with my Father, amen? Then you can begin to demonstrate that life. Yet there was one thing that stopped us, amen, from allowing that kind of God-demonstrated supernatural ability to operate in our life. It's called sin, amen? We sinned and fell short of God. Well, what happened? Jesus paid our sin debt. Now think about this just for a minute, church. If your sin debt is paid in full, it doesn't matter what you did in the past, what failures have occurred in your life, amen, how you missed it, how you got in the flesh and screamed, how many divorces you went through, how many failed businesses you went through, amen, it's all been covered, and you have the ability today to go forward with the anointing of God and overcome the supernatural, by a supernatural means, the natural world, amen? Wouldn't you feel a freshness on the inside? Well, Jesus went to the cross and took care of your sin. We're supposed to live in an atmosphere and in the image where sin doesn't exist. Why, you don't know me, Pastor. Well, that's right, don't know that person. My Bible says that if you're born again, you're a new creation. All things are passed away. All things have become new, right? Well, if we'll focus on that, and when you're one with God, that's all God ever says. Amen. He doesn't remind you of your past. He doesn't remind you where you failed, right? He reminds you where your future is. He reminds you that, hey, you know what? You're a child of mine. You've been created in my likeness and image. Now you should go out there and demonstrate the life that Jesus demonstrated. I took care of everything else. And he did. The church was created to see heaven. We're supposed to be the administrators of heaven. Just like an ambassador in a foreign country, we're supposed to see heaven and bring what's in heaven and bring it into the earth. Amen? Now I know this teaching, I'm glad this is on CD. Hallelujah. Because there's some people in the denominational church 10 years ago, if I'd have heard this message, I'd have thought, oh my Lord, where have I been? What in the world's going on? I'm just an old worm that's barely getting along, and maybe one day when I get to heaven, I won't have to worry about all this mess anymore. Amen? Because that's how we've been taught. But that's not what the Bible says. Amen? Hallelujah? Well, the Bible says that the church was supposed to see into heaven. All the little Jesuses working together are supposed to see what's in heaven and bring it into the earth. Remember, I watched that movie, United 93. Has anyone seen that? Flight 93 or whatever? During that flight, one of the guys, obviously wasn't saved or whatever, but he got on the phone, he stuck his credit card in the you know, the phone that's in the back of the seats in the airplanes. Here they are. They're fixing to die. You got these terrorists up here flying this plane. They ain't got a clue. You talking about being separated from God. You got somebody that ain't got a clue about God up there flying a plane. They're going 450 miles an hour at 12,000 feet. They ain't got a clue, and you're in the plane. Come on. That's a time when you need God. Amen? Hallelujah. And all these passengers were looking at each other like, what in the world are we going to do? This one guy gets on the phone. He calls a Verizon office and just begins to talk to this lady. And I understand he's probably in shock. He's not born again. It's simple to see that he's not born again by the words that are coming out of his mouth. He simply asks her, well, hey, can we pray the Lord's Prayer? Can we pray this together? And she said, sure. And what does the Lord's Prayer say? It says, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yet we've repeated that prayer forever. But did you hear what it just said? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Yet he was repeating a religious prayer and had no idea what he was saying. See, the church is supposed to bring heaven into the earth and demonstrate what's going on in heaven to everyone around. Amen? We're supposed to demonstrate the life of God. The Holy Spirit reveals answers to your problems when you become one with Him. Not only are we to see heaven and bring it into the earth, but when you have a relationship with God through the Holy Spirit, He will reveal things to come. And if you got your Bibles, let's just start right there. Go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Now, I've said everything I've said this far to get your mind, because I know you've been outside and you got a lot of things on your mind, to get to a place to where you can begin to receive the Word of God. Look at John 14 and look at verse 26. It says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Say, he will teach me. See, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you. So we know the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to teach you all things, to bring things to your remembrance. What's He going to be bringing to you? He's going to be bringing answers to your questions. The questions that you don't have answers to, God wants to supply the need. God wants you to overcome in every situation in your life. You may be looking for a promotion in your job. You may be looking to buy a new house. You may be looking to buy a new car. You may need to invest a large sum of money. God wants to help you do that. See, that's why we come to church, is to get information on how to get connected with God so we can overcome the circumstances of the world. Amen. I know that sounds foreign. Most people think we come so we can have fellowship afterwards or picnics or we just come for the music or whatever it is. No, we come primarily to get revelation from heaven and bring it into the earth. Amen. Well, look at, flip over one page and look at John 16. And look at verse 12. Now look how Jesus started talking demonstrating this God kind of life to His disciples. He said in verse 12, I have yet many things to share unto you or say unto you, but you can't bear them. Now see, God can only speak to you or say things to you that you understand. Amen? He wants to say a lot of things to you about your destiny and about your life and where you're to go and what decisions you're supposed to make. He does. He wants to guide you in everything you do. But yet Jesus said to His disciples, you're not ready for this yet. Why were they not ready? Because they were not doing what was necessary to become one with God. Look at verse 13. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He's talking about the Holy Spirit, He will guide you. Everybody say, guide me. See, the job of the Holy Spirit is to guide you in all the affairs of life. The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, the Godhead. God the Father's in heaven right now, and Jesus is in heaven. So the person that's on the earth representing God is the Holy Spirit, and He is here to guide you in all the affairs of your life. And you might be thinking, my Lord, that sure would be nice. I got some big decisions to make. Well, how would you like it if the Holy Spirit told you who to marry? Come on. Amen. How would you like it if the Holy Spirit told you what job to take? Amen. Hallelujah. How would you like it if the Holy Spirit told you where to invest your money to where you can double it? Amen. That'd be good too, wouldn't it? But yet, because we're not one with God, or we're not communing with God on a regular basis, we miss things and we reap the harvest. Remember, Jesus said the flesh profits nothing, so there ain't no profiting in your flesh. You're not going to profit in your marriage if you're just doing it in the flesh. If you just took a job in the flesh, it's not going to profit you. As a matter of fact, it's going to hurt you. Pain and agony on end. So look at what the Word says here. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all the truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. Now look at this. He will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit's job is to show you things to come. He's to talk to you and minister to you. That's why the last couple of weeks, as we taught on praying in the Spirit, amen. Flip over to Romans chapter 8. Let's go there. Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 26. Romans chapter 8. Boy, they used to beat me up in the denominational church with this scripture. Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Look at what it says here. It says, for likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, helps our infirmities. In other words, He helps our weaknesses, our inability to hear or to make the right decisions. He helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. In other words, you don't know how you should pray sometimes. Have you ever just gone to God and you just went, I don't know. Amen? All right, something's bombarding your mind, or you're facing a decision. Your children have done something. Your spouse has done something. Your family is facing crisis. You don't know what to do. That's why praying in the Holy Ghost is so important. Look what it says. It says, for we know not what we should pray as we ought, but... See, there's a conjunction there, tying the two thoughts together. It says, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And when the Holy Spirit is praying in your life, look at verse 27, He searches the hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He knows what God has put in your spirit for your life. He knows what decisions need to be made. Look at this. He knows the hearts, and the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints. That's you, say I'm a saint. According to the will of God. Now, how would you like to make every decision according to the perfect will of God for your life? Come on. Come on. That's why the next scripture you can clearly say with confidence and faith, all things are going to work to good for me and my household. Amen. Now see, many denominational churches just take that one scripture out of context. Say, well, it doesn't matter. You had a car wreck. Well, you know, brother, all things work to good. God's trying to teach you something. Amen. Well, I know your mother died by cancer, but the Bible says all things work together for good to them that love God. I mean, that's kind of foreign when you look at it in the context. Well, the Holy Spirit tells us right here that He'll pray and intercede for us and give us the answer. And knowing that He's going to talk to us, we know all things are going to work for our good. Because we have confidence in God. Has God ever failed you yet? Nope. He hasn't. Of course not. Now go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, here's another scripture. Now, again, to let you know, I'm a Revelation preacher, and if you'll continue to hear, and if you're not getting all this today, you need to order the CD and listen to it over and over and over. Because if you listen to it long enough, God's speaking. He's going to speak through the Word, and things are going to be revealed to you, amen, that can change your life forever. I remember the days when I didn't know nothing, but there were some teachings that I would listen to over and over and over, and the Holy Spirit would bear witness with my spirit, and boom, there was the answer I was looking for. It came right out of the mouth of God, amen. And I don't know what I'm saying half the time, amen. I'm just preaching the Word. You see, I'm reading right out of the Bible. It's the Word that does the work. It ain't me. I'm the FedEx boy. Everybody say FedEx boy. When you get the package, do you remember the name of the driver? Of course not. You immediately open the package and dive in there to see what you got, amen. I'm just the FedEx boy, or I'm the guy in the brown suit, UPS. Amen. Look at verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. See, God has prepared a destiny for everyone in the house this morning. He's prepared a destiny for you. Now, your ability to hear God and make the right decisions determines whether your destiny will be fulfilled or not. You can have heaven on earth, like Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed that we have heaven on earth. Or you can have hell on earth. Amen? Either one. Moses told us very clearly, I've given you a choice, life and death, blessing and cursings. You choose this day. Amen? The Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 says, I will pray in the Spirit. I will pray in my understanding. Your will is involved. Amen? This is something that just does not fall on you one day. You've got to get actively involved with God. You've got to seek the Word of God. You've got to get alone with God and get into a place where you can hear God. Amen? It says here that God's prepared great things for us. And, you know, I've had people tell me, well, look at what the Bible says. You never know what God's going to do. That's not true. Because if we read the next verse, look at verse 10. God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. So we can't go around saying you never know what God's going to do, because God knows exactly what He's going to do. He ain't schizophrenic. Come on. God's not schizophrenic, and He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to tell you one thing today and something else tomorrow. He's not going to tell you to move to Australia tomorrow and then a week later say, oh, guess what? I got this schizophrenia problem. I need you to move to Africa. He's not going to tell you to give $1,000 today and then come back tomorrow and say, well, you know what? I really need that $1,000 to pay my house payment. Amen? He's not schizophrenic. He's going to tell you the right thing. He's going to reveal it to you. How's He do that? Through the Spirit. Now it says here, but God's revealed them unto us by His Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now I want you to go over to Psalm 32. Go to Psalm 32. As you can see, I didn't pull one scripture out of glory. I'm beginning to build precept upon precept, because faith comes by hearing. And your ability to hear God's Word and develop faith in what God says will determine how you receive God and determine how you receive the voice in the direction of God. Amen? Now remember when you first started driving that car, you weren't very good at it. Why? Because you didn't have a lot of confidence. But about that third week, you knew what the clutch was, what the brake was, and what the gas was. Amen? And you knew how it all coordinated together. And you got confident in your ability to drive, right? Why is that? You kept working it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Well, the more that you understand that God wants to guide you by listening to what He says, you build faith in God and His ability when He says something that you know it's going to come to pass. Amen? Faith in God is important. So here you are in Psalms 32. Look at verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. God always speaks deliverance. He never speaks the problem. He's always telling you, I'm going to get you out of this. If you'll just listen to me, you'll come to me. You hang out with me, I'm going to give you wisdom from on heaven that's going to get you over the situation. You don't know how many times Tiffany and I have been in a situation where we were in trouble. Trouble, trouble, trouble. We didn't know what to do, but we began to ask God. We'd get alone and say, God, what do we do? And you know what? God got us out every time. Why? Because we got alone and began to hear what the Spirit had to say. Why? Because that's how God is. You think God's going to say, well, I'm going to leave you there, Brother Adam, just so you can learn a lesson. You wouldn't listen to me last week. Huh, I'll show you. You think God thinks like that? Of course not. He wants to deliver you from every situation that you're in. He wants to give you wisdom from on high. But look what else it says in verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you shall go. See, God will instruct you and teach you and show you where you're supposed to go, what you're supposed to do, and what you're not supposed to do. Look at the last part of that. I will guide you. Say, He'll guide me. That's right. God wants to guide you. That's why you're here today. It's not a coincidence that you're here today. Amen. It's a divine appointment from God that you're sitting in this room today, because you're dealing with some questions that you need answers to. God has put you in the right place. All you got to do is get in the right place to hear Him. Amen. And if you're not, just keep hearing the Word of God. Keep listening to the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit and get to a place where you can totally hear God. Put the world away. Now I want you to go over and look at Psalms 37, verse 23. Psalms 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. In other words, the Lord's going to give you information to get out of the trouble or mess that you're in right now. He will reveal it to you. Go to Psalms 48 and look at verse 14. Psalms 48 and look at verse 14. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. God will guide you even unto death if you will allow Him to. Even to the point to where your body does not exist anymore, God will guide you. Amen? Well, don't trust in your own way of doing things. Number one thing you should write down, don't trust in your own way of thinking. Now here's where many Christians miss it. They've been trained in households to think a specific way. You remember the children of Israel. They sent 12 spies. Moses sent 12 spies into the land to search the land out. Amen? Two spies came back and said, we can take the land. We see the promise of God. We see the provision of God. Yet 10 of those spies came back and said, because we see ourselves as grasshoppers, they see us as grasshoppers, and we cannot take the land. What are they saying? Write that down. That's Numbers chapter 13 and verse 33. You can study that out later. It's because of the image, the self-image that they had on the inside of them, they could not take the land because they had a preconceived idea of how things were to go. Based on their training and the image that they had on the inside. As a matter of fact, you're hearing me this morning through your own preconceived image of who you think God is and who you think I am and who you think this church is. You've got a preconceived image. If it's built on the image of God, then you can clearly hear the Word of God. Or I could stand up here and sound like Charlie Brown's teacher. Wop, 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 bop, 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 wop, 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 wop. It's just depending on how you receive. Amen? You followed me? Well, that's the truth. Amen? Can I get an amen there? Amen. Go to Proverbs 3 and look at verse 5. Proverbs 3 and look at verse 5. It all depends on your preparation on your way to church. See, God's talking right now, and He's talking specifically to you. He wants you to get over some things. He's going to give you wisdom from on high, amen. He's preparing the ground so you can get the Word in there, and tomorrow or today in your time with God, boom, there it is, your answer. It's come. You've been waiting for it for a month, and all of a sudden, because you were faithful, you took the time to hear the man of God, and you took the time to hear the Word of God, then you said, hey, that'll work for me. So Proverbs chapter 3, and look at verse 5. Proverbs 3, and look at verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean unto your understanding. The 10 spies that went into the land, they leaned only on their own reasoning that they could see. They saw the giants and said, hey, there ain't no way. God wants you to trust in Him and not what you see, hear, taste, or smell. God doesn't live in the sense realm. He lives in the spirit realm. Amen? He's already seen the beginning from the end, so He knows your destiny in life. Amen? Now go over to Luke chapter 9, look at verse 61. Luke chapter 9, look at verse 61. One thing you can't do once you begin to be led by the Spirit of God and to begin to hear God is you cannot turn back to the old way of living. You can't go back. Once you hear revelation, I'm telling you, once the light bulb goes off the first time, honey, if you go back to the old world, you're separating yourself from the power that can guide you your whole life. Look at what Jesus said, verse 61. Another said unto him, Lord, I will follow you. Woo! That's how some people get, as soon as they get turned on to God. I'll follow you anywhere, Lord. Whatever you say, I'll do it. I'll be at church every Sunday morning at 8:30 to make sure that the children's auditorium is set up and waiting for the kids. I'll be there to make sure that all the coffee's made and donuts are out and everything, the atmosphere is set. I'll be there, Lord, faithfully twice a month to make sure that the church is cleaned and taken care of. Amen. I mean, there's all kinds of things, but what happens? He says, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at my home and my house. Now, a few scriptures before, Jesus just looked at him and said, partner, let the dead bury the dead. Quit hanging out with dead people. You better hang out with somebody that's alive and's got some revelation in their life, that's walking and demonstrating some power. Amen. Amen. You know that much. You better hang out with the right person in your office if you're going to get the promotion. You hang out with the guy that's murmuring, complaining, doing all that stuff, guess what? It's going to get off on you. Jesus is saying, let the dead bury the dead. And look at verse 62. He said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is even fit for the kingdom of God. You're not fit to be under that anointing and to hang out with God if you're constantly of a double mind looking back to the old life. Going back, well, it just ain't working. It ain't working. This is not working. It may look real bad, honey, but let me tell you, God hadn't spoke and God ain't done yet. Amen? So don't look back. Now, God will guide you through your spirit. Now, we're running out of time, but let me just show you a couple ways that we're going to begin to teach about in the coming weeks. You have to have a clear heart. If there is a lot of clutter inside your heart, now I'm not talking about the physical heart pump that's in your chest. You have got to have a clear conscience or a clear heart. Amen? How about that one drawer in your kitchen that is your junk drawer? We all have them, don't we? I mean, and you pull that drawer open and you think, I mean, when we moved, let me just tell you what we did. Or she didn't, Miss Tiffany didn't do it, I did it. Our junk drawer was so full of junk, say junk three times. Junk, junk, junk. I pulled it out and my thought was, I need to go through this junk drawer and sort everything. But I was such in a hurry, I took the drawer and just dumped it in a box, amen? Now that box, listen to this, that box is sitting in my storage room. Come on, hallelujah. And we've already got another junk drawer started, amen? Amen? So if your life and your spirit is like the junk drawer, you're in trouble, honey. You've got to clean things out and you've got to keep things in order. How about that one closet that you just throw everything in? Amen. I was telling the other night, I knew this guy was working on his car and he had all these tools. And man, he was right in the middle of, he needed that one special tool to fix the thing. And he says, I know I got that tool. It's right over here in this closet. And he opened the door of that closet. Well, half the stuff fell out. And he began to look in that closet and think, Lord have mercy, it's going to take me half a day to find that. Well, I'll just go buy another one. Yeah. Come on. Why is that? Clutter, clutter, clutter. Say that three times. Clutter, clutter, clutter. You got to clean your heart out. Why do we come in and we worship God for a few minutes? We're trying to get the clutter out of your mind. Many people don't realize that. Why are they up there singing? Why are they trying to move? Why are they trying to do this? We're trying to get all the clutter. It's kind of like you going in your backyard. We need to plant a seed, but there's weeds, sticks, leaves, and everything else over the ground. What do you have to do? Brush it all aside. Why? So you can get in there and make sure that you have a channel into the earth to plant the Word of God. Amen? Are you following me? Proverbs 19:21. Only listen. Go over there real quick. Proverbs 19:21. Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. There are many things in your heart. But if you don't begin to discern the difference and start organizing your heart, cleaning your heart out of all the clutter, then you're going to be in trouble. It says there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Look at that. The counsel of the Lord is what's most important. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. And then we'll close. 1 Peter chapter 1. Look at verse 22. Now look at what Peter... See, Peter said something here that's very vital. And you know, this is a thread throughout the entire Bible. You've got to get to a place to hear God. Jesus got away and prayed and separated himself from his disciples. Amen. Moses got away. Joshua got away. All the great leaders in the Bible got away and made sure that they made preparation. Say preparation. Yeah, preparation to do what? Hear from on high. Because that is the most important thing in your life. Your car payment's not a problem. Your house payment's not a problem. Matter of fact, I was talking to a partner of mine. I've been in the architecture business for almost 20 years, 15 or 18 years, something like that. I was talking to one of my partners that I work with from time to time in the architecture business. And he said, "How's everything going? You know, that didn't look too good for such and such. You know, he lost everything, and man, his life's a mess." And we were talking about a common friend that we have, you know. His marriage went bad, and he lost his house, his boat, and his such and such. And now he's in a little one-bedroom apartment, and his life's gone as far as he's concerned. And this friend of mine, this partner, was telling me about it. And then we were talking about another guy that just lost his son. Somebody shot his son down in Little Rock, and it's just... I mean, things happen. Amen? And something just bubbled up on the inside of me because God wanted to say something to this guy. And here's what I told him. I said, "You can take my house. You can take my car. You can take my boat. You can take my talents. You can take everything. But if I have Jesus, I can replace it all in 2 years." Amen? Isn't that right? I can replace it all in 2 years. Why? Because I got confidence in God and God on the inside of me. The car ain't your answer. Your job sure ain't the answer. Amen. Your wife ain't the answer. The house you live in, that ain't your answer. Your answer is God. God will show you things to come. Peter said, "Seeing you've purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit." You see how important the Spirit is? He purifies you. Why? So you can see clearly. He purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, and see that you love one another with a what? Pure heart. A pure heart is more important than anything else. And the reason I'm ministering along these lines is because God is trying to tell His people, "You're not hearing me." Why? Because He knows you're busy out there in the world. You're so busy that He wants to take you to the next level in your life, but you're too busy down here in the intimate details of trying to figure out how to change the faucet. It's like Brother Copeland said. He was ministering. He was on his way to minister at a big meeting. He did not have an airplane at that time. He was driving his car. His car was broken down. I mean, barely getting along. He had trouble with the carburetor. Before he got to the meeting, God wanted to really share the word with somebody. He walked in there, and the devil told him, "Well, you got a carburetor anointing. What are you going to say?" Amen? Are y'all with me? "I got a baking anointing. What am I going to say? I got a nursing anointing. What am I going to say?" So what the devil wants you to do is get tied up in the world. So in the coming weeks, God wants you to know He wants to talk to you. He's got some divine information He wants to share with you. Amen? Every head bowed and every eye closed.